When I think of fishing, listen, I think of worms. That's the first thing I think of. I don't have worms up there. Not yet. Okay. But with fish like walleye, you could use crankbaits, spoons, small spinner baits, as well as plastic worms and grubs. When you're fishing for crappie, minnows, worms, insects, just about anything can catch a crappie, right? Their attention. Largemouth bass, you can use lures that look like fish, as seen up here. And today our sermon is called Bait and Tackle. The main idea that we want to get across is this. What bait are you using to fish? Listen, a hook just won't do, right? You don't just go around yelling, Jesus! Right? If that's all you say, I think people will be a little scared, right? I think even some Christians would run away from you. Okay, Jesus! And you get a sore throat like me, so don't do it, okay? You can't just use a hook. There's got to be some spiritual bait on your hook. And we'll go into that. We'll go into that. Well, I said I'd bring a worm, but I'll talk about that in just a second. When I was in Africa, we went to this amazing restaurant, and I ate an impala. Not that kind of impala, right? I didn't eat the car. But I ate this impala here, right? Wild game. Also had some of this, too, some wild boar. And all of this was good. But on this mission trip where we tried this wild game, and I was game for anything, you could eat a mopani worm, and you got this little certificate that says, I've eaten a mopani worm. And so I was like all for it, right? It was cooked, but it was salty, okay? It was salty and just plain gross. To certain fish, this kind of bait would really be good. But with humans, right, you don't dangle out a worm, right? Most people would have a hard time eating that. And so my question to you is, what kind of bait are you using? Remember that familiar saying, you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. Who's heard that saying before? Who know, maybe your mom. Did your mom ever tell you that? Right? Raise your hand if your mom ever told you that, right? You catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. Honey works as bitter bait. It's sticky. It's sweet to the taste. It's not bitter. And my question to you is, what are you putting out there? James 2:26 says, For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith without works is dead also. In the same passage, James 2:15-17, it says, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Not id dead, that's my spelling error, but is dead. If you're a living, breathing Christian, then you are doing what Jesus would do. Now, I'm not saying you just throw money at people. Anybody that asks you for something that you just go, okay. I will tell you, we get numerous people that come into the church and they say, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. And the first question is, do I know you? And I know that sounds rough. I don't pose it like that. But giving happens through relationship. It happens through relationship. A lot of people just think, I'll hit all the churches and maybe I'll get enough money to go buy something. But again, there's some accountability too and growth. And are you going in a good direction? Another thing I tell people is we're a small church. Okay? We work from a zero benevolence, which means if we ever have to do benevolence, we move it over from the general fund to take care of that. That's for real, guys. You know, sometimes people think, oh, a church, shouldn't they give? Blah, blah, blah. We have to give with wisdom. Right? And we have to be good stewards of our finances. And so I'm not saying this so in general we can just go, well, you said to give to somebody in need, and somebody came up to you and asked in need, and they didn't give to God says use wisdom in this, right? And even look at the context. Suppose a brother or a sister, right? There's context of family relationship in here. And that could be family of God, too. But there's context of family relationship. But again, if you're a living, breathing Christian, then you're doing what Jesus would do. And guess what? When you do that, you're showing your faith through deeds. And this attracts people to Christianity. I want to share this. One person came up to me and said, I need gas money. And so I said, okay, we'll sit down and we have this application. And they didn't blow up at me. They filled out the application. And they told me, I said, well, while you're sitting here, I'd like to talk to you and I'd like to share with you a couple videos. And so I shared with them about a man from Teen Challenge, Pastor Mike, that how he got free of alcohol, and shared with him that. And this person that was planning on going to one destination after watching that video says, actually, I need that gas money because I'm actually going to go home to see family. I know that it's a party life in this destination. And although I have a job in this destination, I know I'm probably going to go back to alcohol. And I don't want to do that. And I started talking to him about the Lord. I said, do you know the Lord? Have you asked Jesus in your heart? Here, let me show you another video while I'm waiting for the police to get back to me. Because we another thing that we do here, so it's a good process that you guys know the process, is we ask that they go to the police department so we're not aiding and abetting a criminal. And so I said, well, we're waiting for the police here. Here, let's watch another video. And I shared another awesome testimony about this life that was transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. I said, and I began to ask him again, have you asked Jesus in your heart? He said, I did a long time ago, but I fell away from God, and I'm actually an alcoholic, and I've been really struggling, and I actually need to get into a program. I said, you need to call up Teen Challenge. I'm going to write down the address. I'm going to write down the phone number, and I want to give it to you. This is during our fishing series, guys. I'm going fishing. And I hand it to him, and I said, call Teen Challenge. And he's like that. Basically, he saw that how powerful the testimony was, and I said, would you like to pray right now and rededicate your heart to Jesus? And he did. We bowed our heads, and he rededicated his heart to the Lord, and he's on my 5 card to keep on praying for him. What opportunities would I have missed if I just said, oh, here's another one. Here's another one, complete stranger, I don't know, that wants something from the church. There are times where I said, hey, it's time to fill out this application, and they said, oh, I don't want that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not a criminal. And busted out the door. I mean, didn't hurt the door, but left. In an angry way. That's New York slang, right? just left and didn't want anything to do with us. And we're angry because I asked them to fill out this application or asked them to go to the police department. And so there are times like that. But what opportunities are we missing because we just categorize? Or what opportunities are we missing because we don't even think about doing this? But the Lord calls us to be this and to do this. People like fish need the right bait at the right time. Like myself, although I ate the mopani worm, that wasn't something I really wanted to sink my teeth into. I love the certificate. I mean, that was great. But this message goes along with this saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. The care you show is what leads them to the truth that Jesus is the Savior of the world and calls for their ultimate allegiance to Him. This isn't just pray a quick prayer and you're done. This is, I want to share with you the juice of who Jesus is, and it's also a call to deep commitment for you to respond. But with that great call, better be some great, awesome, juicy love of Jesus lavished on that person. You're like, you're getting real gross. We're talking about worms. You're saying juicy love. But seriously, shouldn't the bait be good? And I'm not saying bait. Please hear me. We're in a fishing series. This is not like we're trying to bait them to sell them something. The gospel is free. This is not about money. People make church about money, and that's a bunch of hoopla. You can quote me on that. But the gospel is free. Jesus died for us when we were... Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners. And Christ died for me. Christ died for me when I smelled like garbage. Like, spiritually, smelled like garbage. But guess what? What wooed him to Jesus was physically Jesus, right? Jesus knocks him down off his horse. But he says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He got personal with him. To Saul, Judaism was a list of rules. It was a list of do's and don'ts. It was a list of go here, go there, toe the line. And Jesus says, let's make this personal, Saul. Why do you persecute me? And Saul was cut to the quick. Who are you? I'm Christ, the one you're persecuting. You're not just persecuting numbers. You're not just persecuting groups. You're not just looking good to the Sanhedrin and to the political parties and the spiritual parties that you want to be a part of. You're advancing in your years. I'm talking about me and you. I'm talking about personal relationship with me and you. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul was cut to the quick. The catch, the connection, the grab was grabbing onto his heart. I know you love my word, but do you love me? And I think Christians, sometimes I know that you love the church, but do you love me? And that was the bait for Saul. Do you love me? Do you know you're even persecuting me? And it was a woo. One thing I didn't get to share because I was not looking at the order of service that I'm going to ask you guys to show now is my favorite moment from our trip. And so could you play that for me? It's one with the Lady Bethany. It's the farthest one to the
right. Hi, my name is Bethany. I'm one of our staff members here at FMSC. And we just had the opportunity to pray over these. Hi, my name is Bethany. I'm one of our staff members here at FMSC. And we just had the opportunity to pray over these meals that have been packed with our volunteers and talking about the goodness and the glory of what happens when we pack these boxes. And just a simple story of what that looks like is when there was a platoon of military men in a part of Asia that had simply heard about the work of volunteers packing these exact boxes. They had all come to know the Lord by just hearing the act of the work that volunteers like these students have been of packing meals for the sake of the starving and the least of these around the world. And so the prayers, the service, the sacrifice, it makes a difference, not only on this side of heaven, but in eternity. And so we are so blessed by the sacrifices that are made by volunteers to make this mission possible.
That was my Kodak moment, and I almost didn't have it. I had finished praying over the meal, and I was just talking to Bethany, and then she shared that. And how powerful. This whole platoon of military men, before hardened to the gospel, before not saved, probably had seen some pretty crazy, horrible things in their lifetimes. And they just heard about the love of God through Feed My Starving Children, and volunteers like Anna and Anna, and Hope, and Zach, and Dominic, and Crystal, and myself. And they were so moved that they gave their hearts to Jesus. I love that. That was the bait. It caught them. It grabbed a hold of their heart. And they were different because of what was done in the name of the Lord for the least of these. What kind of bait are you using to share your faith? When you talk to someone about Christ, what do you bring up besides the facts? What are you doing to woo people to Jesus? I'm going to ask for another video in just a moment. We're just going to play a short clip of it. But it's about the Peace Child. Who's heard of the Peace Child ever before? Okay, not many. So let's check it out.
It was 50 years ago when my mother and my father began an unforgettable journey. I was just 7 months old when they moved deep into the jungles of Papua. We made our home among a small tribal group known as the Sawi. My dad learned the language, my mom treated the sick, all with the purpose of telling them about Jesus. But the people did not respond. The Sawi were headhunters. They were cannibals. They lived in a constant state of war. As time passed, we began to lose hope that the gospel would take root. My parents were faced with a decision. Finally, Dad explained to the Sawi that if they kept on fighting, we could no longer stay. But the Sawi were desperate to keep us around, so they finally agreed to make peace with each other. In order for that to happen, each Sawi village gave an infant, a baby boy, to their enemies. And this child became known as the Peace Child. It was through this unexpected exchange, buried deep in their culture, that my parents were given a perfect opportunity to share the gospel with the Sawi, to explain to them that God sent his very own Peace Child, Jesus, to make peace with us. It's been 50 years since that day. We're very anxious to see how the Sawi are doing.
So if you want to see that, it's called Never the Same, and it's a good 15 minutes of your time. It's worth it. When they go see them, spoiler alert, it's amazing what God has done. 50 years and the generations of Christians. And when you think about this, as you saw, missionaries in Papua, I'm not going to say it right, but Papua New Guinea, they were trying to reach warring tribes for Jesus. Everything they said seemed to go in one ear and out the other. It wasn't connecting. It's like when you try to fish and you think you got a bite and you go to pull and there's nothing. When you try and it looks like something's going to happen, it doesn't, over and over and over again, to the point of frustration for them. And again, this was a cannibalistic tribe. I mean, think about it. You're taking, it's one thing. I'm sure their parents gave them a talking to. It's one thing for you and your spouse to go. It's another thing for you to take a 7-month-old and a 2-year-old into this cannibalistic tribe. They will eat you. They could. That's the danger that they stepped into, but they knew that Jesus was calling them there. But notice what was, you fill it in. What was the bait? What was the bait? You guys think about it. You just saw it. What was the bait? Huh? They were leaving. And why didn't they want these missionaries to leave? They just liked them. And they were providing medical care, right? They were providing medical care. That was the bait. That was what wooed them to Jesus, was the care that they showed medically. We support monthly medical care around the world from the Assemblies of God, going to these places and loving people and presenting the gospel. The medical care was the bait. And because of that, and then, the cultural key that opened up the door to their people group, their language, their culture, was the Peace Child. That they said, we don't want you to leave, so we have this old custom that we will give to another tribe a son. And as long as that son lives, we won't hurt you. And as long as your son lives, they vice versa. And the missionary says, I got it. Jesus is the Peace Child. He's the one that God sent his son. We were at enmity between us and God. We were judged. We were going to hell, but yet God would send his only son. And he's the Peace Child. It would bring peace amongst war and rebellion and pain. And the whole tribe here and here and here, all the warring ones that used to kill each other, there was no old men in those tribes. And when they go back, there's gray-haired men and gray-haired women because of the gospel. because of these missionaries that came and brought the peace child, Jesus Christ. It's so powerful. Never the same as the video. I really encourage you this week, check it out. Never the same, peace child, and you'll find it just so amazing. What does your neighborhood need to see and hear from you to reach them for Christ? Manna packs are not just food. They're spiritual food that saves souls. What spiritual food are you packing? What lives are you investing in? What manna are you offering? I love that it's called manna. Did you know this organization almost went out? This organization almost closed down years ago. And the leader said, we need to put Jesus first again. This started with Jesus. And I'm not quoting directly, but this got real humanitarian, and this needs to be all about Jesus. So every time we pack, we don't force it. They said, those that want to go pray can go pray. Right, ladies? Those that want to go pray, go pray. Well, guess what? The Mormons were not with us praying. Some of the workers from Target were. Some weren't. Some of the kids from different schools that were Christian schools or VBSs were. I mean, we had like 5 and 6-year-olds that were packing too. That was so cool. But some weren't. They said, just stay in the main room and we'll finish up the session there. But anybody that wants to pray, pray here. And like we said, the high rate of actually getting. Has anybody ever been through customs? Raise your hand if you've ever been through customs, right? It can be a nightmare, okay? Going through, when I went to Haiti, that was so hard going through customs. I didn't even know where my bags were. And this guy's like, oh, I find your bags. Come with my friend. I find your bags. And then he's expecting a good tip, you know? because it was so confusing. The lines were so long. People just butted right in front of you. In the culture in Haiti, there's no personal space. So you're right there next to each other. And they're just jumping in line in front of us. And I'm like, guys, if we don't pull a little New York here, if we don't get a little aggressive in our traffic, we're never going to get through customs. So get in there. Here. Yeah. No, I didn't do that to anybody. There was no yaying, okay? But I was like, get in. Come on. Because we would have never left customs. And Convoy of Hope was on the outside of customs. They couldn't come inside of customs. So we had to get out. And so think about that with all the packages of Feed My Starving Children meals that have to come through and all the criminal-based governments at times that don't want that food to get in there or don't want that food to end in that destination. And the Lord is fighting for us through the power of prayer to get so many meals there at such a high rate. So such an awesome thing. Such an awesome thing to see the Lord fighting for you when you're fighting for him. When you're fishing for him, he's going to work on your behalf. And there's the Peace Child, just a picture. It's a book. It's worth reading. Great book by Don Richardson there. And I want to end our service this morning with this passage. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick. I lost my voice. No, that's not in there. And you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink, and when did we see a stranger and welcome you or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer him, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, and you could even capitalize that, the least of these, one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it for me. Let's go forth this week looking for the right bait and tackle. Let's continue to show our faith through good deeds. Let's fish with great strategy and great love. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, when I think of good deeds, I'm the first to say, God, I don't want to be one that's like, look what all awesome we did, and let's parade around our good deeds. That's not what this is. It's a call to myself. It's a call to all of us here to truly shine for you with love and with compassion, to walk in wisdom in how to delve out this good deeds, these great acts of kindness towards the least of these. God, sometimes we can feel so overwhelmed by, what do I do? Like, what is it that you're calling me to do, God? God, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Help us to not miss opportunities. And help us to be strategic to use the right bait and the right tackle. God, there are fish out there that you're calling us to fish for. And you're calling us to do it not just by opening up our mouth and sharing the words of the gospel, and that's fantastic, and your word is sharper than any double-edged sword. But you're also calling us to do something, like pack a meal. You're calling us to do something like giving to someone sacrificially. You're calling us to do something that involves love, that involves showing who you are, Jesus, and that personal relationship that we can have with you. So I pray, God, that you would stir us up on the inside. I pray, God, that you would open up opportunities. I pray that you would give us just, again, the words and deeds that you would have us to do. In Jesus' name. And let me leave you with this. I was talking to the youth about this passage, and you know, sometimes it boggles me, like, when did we do this for you? And again, I get the passage, but one of the things I shared with them is God wants us to be the people, right, that are so used to being generous that we forget our generosity. Oh, yeah, I did that. I can't remember that. Because that's just who Jesus wants me to be. And so it's just regular for me to care for the prisoner. It's regular for me to look for the neglected and the down and out and the hurting. That's just normal to me. So when you bring up a specific time, like that's so who God has formed my character to be, I don't recall that. That's the kind of people God wants to make us into. That we can almost forget the awesome deeds that God had us do because it's just in our nature to be that way. Because my nature looks like his nature, and his nature looks like my nature. And that's just who I am, and it just oozes out of who I am. Don't you want that? I want that. God, thank you. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this loving and caring church. Thank you for the people here that are shining for you. And God, thank you that we're all a work in progress. We all have our faults. We all have our fallings, but you are stretching us. Thank you, God, for the word that Corrine shared today, the encouragement from her own life of God. Even in the most horrible times, God, you were there and you provided a way, even when there seemed to be no way. And God, I'm praying that the same for those of here that feel like there's no way. I don't see an end to this tunnel. I don't see the end to this hardship or this difficulty. And the Lord is saying, trust me. Trust me. I will make a way where there seems to be no way. And guess what? You'll know that I'm orchestrating it and that I'm working through it. And I'm the God of the impossible. Would you pray a special prayer for our teenagers that went on this mission trip? God, I ask that you bless them. I thank you for all their hard work. I thank you for their great attitudes. I thank you, God, for the fact that they built your kingdom this week, and lives are going to be forever changed because of that. And I pray that you would continue to just make them like you, the generosity, the passionate heart, the heart that seeks you daily. God, I pray that that would just overflow in their lives and that they would see the reaping of the harvest in their own lives and in the lives around them, because they've said, here am I, send me. We thank you, Lord. We ask that you bless this week. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So be it. God bless you.